Dr. John music. Right place, wrong time. Story of my life. 1221, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on this Wednesday. And let's bring on another doctor. Dr. Ben Carson, Professor Emeritus of Neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University. And Washington Times columnist. And today's column is entitled Uprooting Obamacare with Better Ideas. Hi, Dr. Ben. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Andy.
You know, even as a kid, you were attracted to medicine?
Yeah, it's really the only thing that ever grabbed me. You know, Dr. Kildare, Dr. Casey, any documentary. and interestingly enough, you know, there were a lot of stories on there about Johns Hopkins because they were always at the forefront of the breakthroughs. And, you know, I determined as a little kid that I would one day want to work there, and it all kind of worked out. You know, you have to hold on to those aspirations.
Yeah, and to think, I wanted to be a dentist, and then I wanted to be an air traffic controller, and I ended up ended up in radio. How in the world did that ever happen? Anyway, you thought that one day you'd be part of the medical community, and you clearly established yourself in that arena. When it came time to look at retirement, you thought it would be easy now, didn't you?
Well, you know, I certainly didn't plan on this kind of retirement. I thought it was going to be quiet. I was going to learn to play the organ. I even bought an organ in anticipation. But I think I turned it on 3 times. So I may have to save that one for the second retirement.
That's funny. That is very funny. You know, and the reason I'm laughing is because I loved – my father had an organ in the house, and my sister was allowed to take lessons, and she didn't want to take lessons. I'm the one who really wanted to learn, but my father would never pay for the lessons. So anyhow,
absolutely.
I'm going to come to your house and we're going to learn together then.
Absolutely. Sounds like a plan to me.
Okay. All right. All right. So now you're dedicated to trying to heal health care, if you will, as in Obamacare, right?
Right. Because it doesn't do any good, you know, to get the patients fixed up and then send them back into a rotten environment. And when I say a rotten environment, I'm not just talking about health care. You know, there are a lot of things that are going on that are very deleterious. You know, you look at education in our society right now. The level of education of the general population is on the downslide. And all you have to do is look at some of those shows sometimes, you know, Jaywalking Segment, Jesse Waters, whatever.
Yeah.
People don't, I mean, their level of knowledge and understanding is so limited that it makes it very easy for them to be led by untruth. And what I've been encouraging people to do is spend a half an hour a day learning something new. Get a history book, American history, world history, Greek history, algebra. There's a book called The Science Before Science. It's a physics book written for lay people. I mean, there's all kinds of great things. Learn something new, half an hour every day. In a year's time, the people who know you will say, wow, where did this person come from? But what happens is you become a formidable foe to falsehood and a formidable ally for truth. That's what we need.
Yeah. All right, so now I understand you're involved in a new project, and I want you to tell us a little bit about it.
Well, you know, Save Our Healthcare. What we're trying to do is get hundreds of thousands of people, maybe the millions of people, to sign a petition saying to Congress, we want you guys to seriously look at some of the alternatives. We don't have to just say, you know, Obamacare is the only thing and there's nothing else we can do. We can sit around and tinker with it, but we can't look at other things. And the reason I feel that's so important is because what it represents is a takeover of health care by the government. Now, why is that so bad? Well, all you have to do is look at the people who have been such detractors of ours and have wanted us to fall. You know, look at their writings, you know, Alinsky and Marx and Lenin, and they talk about how important it is to be able to control health care because that's one of the key factors in making the population dependent. When the population is dependent, then the population is cooperative mm-hmm. with whatever way you want to go because you hold all the marbles.
Yeah. All right, so what I get from this is the mission is to once again unite doctors and patients and get Washington out of the equation.
Exactly. I mean, what do you need for good health care? You need a patient and a health care provider. Along comes the middleman to facilitate the relationship. It has now become the dominant force dictating to the doctor and the patient, and it doesn't even need to be there.
Mm-hmm. Recently, you were reacquainted with a young man you've known since he was about, if I understand this correctly, about a year old, right?
That's correct. Yeah, TJ. You know, the interesting thing is I see my patients everywhere. Everywhere I go, because I've operated on so many thousands of people. But in this particular young man's case, you know, the parents were told that he was going to die. He had an inoperable tumor. There was nothing that really could be done about it. And, you know, I had operations at a number of places, and then, you know, they ended up with me. I had to operate several times, but we were eventually able to eliminate all of it. And here he is 20 years later doing just fine.
Yeah.
And that's a privilege. You know, it doesn't mean that I'm the greatest surgeon in the world. It has a lot more to do with God than it has to do with me. But it does mean that people need to have the freedom.
Yeah.
To be able to move around and to seek what they need to have. And cookie-cutter solutions are not going to work for everybody. Now, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, when I talked about health savings accounts and everybody getting a $2,000 a year endowment to their account, and they said, but that's not going to be enough. That's not going to be enough to take care of that patient. They don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the $2,000, most of which goes into your HSA. You also have to buy catastrophic or bridge insurance. But the cost of that will be significantly decreased because all of your routine things are no longer coming out of your major medical.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who come up with these other spurious arguments, they just don't understand how it works. And I understand that. But they need to read a little bit before they criticize too much.
Yeah. All right, well, it sounds as if you folks are coming up with some great ideas, and I want everyone to know about it. SaveOurHealthCare.org is the place, and maybe we can get the ball rolling on this and get some things turned around here in Washington.
Absolutely. We're going to be rolling out the principles, and then we're going to be talking about the specifics.
All right, and you're headed to CPAC this weekend, right?
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yep. All right. We'll be down there Thursday and Friday. Dr. Ben Carson will be down there as well. Ben, thank you very much for doing this, and we'll talk again next week.
Always a pleasure, Andy. Take care.
See you. Dr. Ben Carson, Professor Emeritus of Neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University and a Washington Times columnist. And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't read it, check it out. Uprooting Obamacare with Better Ideas, Government-Run Healthcare Can't Compete with Freedom of Choice. And I'd like to apologize for the cell phone. It was getting a little spotty at times. Dr. Ben is actually traveling right now. I don't know where exactly he is, but I got the funny feeling he was at an airport and on the run like he normally is. So anyway, again, I apologize for the quality of it, but it's always good to talk to Dr. Ben Carson. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 1260 WRC. Stay tuned. More to come.